Chapter 3. The blessed child John is attacked by the devil. He conquers the enemy with religious firmness, his devotion in assisting at Mass. He enters the hospital of Medina del Campo. He is saved again by the Blessed Mother from certain death. The devil was not pleased with the happy beginnings of the life of John. He could see in them the loss he was destined to suffer through the servant of God. Always, from afar, the devil forecasts the Christian perfection of those who are called by God to eminent sanctity. How, we do not know. Perhaps he sees in the humors and qualities of their bodies a physical aptitude for virtuous living. Perhaps he is warned by the superior excellence and dignity of the guardian angels who are given to them. Perhaps he sees also some special signs of the extraordinary providence God bestows on them from the very moment of their creation. In whatever manner he may acquire his knowledge, whether by the natural sagacity of his powerful intellect or by some special divine dispensation, one thing is certain, that from their earliest infancy the devil is accustomed to persecute the elect with terrific rage. Seeing, therefore, in our saint such a prompt disposition for every virtue, such extraordinary favors, including the personal protection of the Mother of God, seeing also, perhaps, together with all this, some very superior guardian angel assigned to care for him, and knowing these things to be signs of the wonderful sanctity and power which would war against him as his capital enemy, the devil wished to stop all in the very beginning by taking the child's life. Failing in this, he was determined to discourage and frighten him to such an extent that he would abandon his purpose to live virtuously. The venerable Francis de Yepes, brother of our saint, relates that when both were very small, they were going in company with their good mother to Medina. Just before entering the city, they had to pass a pool, probably the same from which Our Lady had saved him, and there a large, fierce monster came out of it and attacked him, trying to swallow him up. But he, without fear or distress, made the sign of the cross to defend himself, and immediately the horrible vision disappeared. Herein were symbolized all the troubles and persecutions by which the saint was afflicted during his life, and the triumphs of our Holy Father achieved over the devil by the Holy Cross, making it a part of his name, and planting it firmly in the Reformed Carmel. Our little John was growing more rapidly in virtue than in years. His pious mother, wishing to guide him to well-rounded perfection, tried to induce him to learn some trade, but the boy, so quick and intelligent at school, was too dull to learn any of those common in the city. Francis de Yepes says his holy brother was apprenticed in succession to the tailors, carpenters, engravers, and painters' trades. His ability to earn a living was tried in many ways, but he could not be taught. He did not seem to have the power of learning anything whatever. It was a waste of time. God had higher work for him, and made his mother send him to school. She cherished very much the idea of placing him in a good college, but her extreme poverty came in the way. She had to be contented with a school in Medina, where poor and orphan children were educated. Here John remained some time, attending to his studies and other exercises, especially those of prayer and devotion, in which he was a model to the other children. At this time he was used to go early in the morning to the monastery of St. Mary Magdalene, of the Augustinian nuns. There he served Mass with such recollection and devotion as to attract the notice of those who were present, and inspire them to serve God more faithfully. Unalloyed virtue is so lovely in itself that the human heart cannot resist its beauty. Our blessed child had neither friends, nor family, nor riches, nor other natural gifts to attract affection, but his wonderful virtues, even in tenderest childhood, were irresistible winsome. Poor and forsaken by all, his modesty, gentleness, and prudence caused him to be universally admired and loved. Among those whom he attracted most was a gentleman from Toledo, Alonso Alvarez, who, weary of the world, devoted himself to the service of the poor and the sick. He had taken on himself the charge of the hospital of Medina. Knowing well the wonderful virtues of little John, and his hopeless struggle to earn bread for himself and his mother, Señor Alvarez went to her and offered to take the boy into his service in the hospital. John was 12 or 13 years of age. His character had already in many respects attained majority. His new patron proposed that he should serve the poor, at the same time continuing his studies. Afterwards, he intended to ordain him priest and make him chaplain and superintendent of the large and flourishing institution. The offer was gladly accepted by the mother and son, and Juan de Yepes became the servant of the poor in the public hospital of Medina. Shortly afterwards, being at work in the courtyard of the place, he fell into a well which had been left uncovered. The people, who saw him fall, made an outcry, thinking it was impossible to save him, for the well was deep, and there was much water in it. Rescuers rushed into the courtyard and looked into the well. There they saw the boy resting on the surface of the water, calm and unhurt. He answered their cries quietly and cheerfully. Having drawn him up by a rope, they asked him how it had happened. He replied with great simplicity that a beautiful lady had received him in her arms as he was falling and sustained him till they came and let down the rope. The people wondered and accounted the boy as one whom God was preserving for great things. Recalling his already marvelous life, they looked at one another and repeated what was said of the great Baptist, precursor of Christ. What and one, think ye, shall this child be, for the hand of the Lord was with him.